Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, my friends. It's the anniversary of the Waco Massacre back in 1993 on April 19th, ending a 51-day siege. I tell you, the years have just flown by. We'll talk a little bit about Waco today. You're welcome to call in on the subject. Scott McClellan, whose father is Barr McClellan, LBJ's personal lawyer, who went public, what, about a year and a half ago, saying LBJ told him personally that he had Kennedy killed. Just a little side issue, a little trivia for you. He's left after six-plus years working in the White House, 2 years and, what, 9 months after Ari Fleischer resigned, right when the scandal began to break with the Valerie Plame CIA leak. He's gone. We'll get a little bit into that. They're talking about having Fox News' Tony Snow be the replacement. I mean, he's always been a White House propagandist, so he'll just now be in a more public role. Interesting little report here about credit card con man used names of tycoons. Because the government itself is a giant con artist operation. I just want to show how far an independent loner, lone wolf grifter, can go to illustrate the bigger picture. So we'll get into that. And, of course, a Chinese leader has dined with Bill Gates, saying how much he loves Bill Gates. Who calls Gates a friend of China? Meanwhile, more news breaking about the communist Chinese regime selling political dissidents' organs to the highest bidder in the British Medical Society, their Society of Surgeons, criticizing it. And the press is reporting that China is the new superpower, soon to surpass the GDP, or gross domestic production output, of the United States. A bunch of big developments on the open borders and the La Reconquista. It's all coming up in this first hour, as well as your calls. As I mentioned, toll-free number, you're going to need it, 1-800-259-9231, 1-800-259-9231. We'll get you up and on the air. Former Parliamentary Minister of Defense, Andres von Bülow, also former Minister of Technology and a former Minister over West German Intelligence, worn a lot of hats, expert on government-sponsored terror, will be joining us for a full hour and a half starting in about 55 minutes from now. He'll be joining us in the second and third hours today, and we'll take your calls concerning government-sponsored terrorism on 9/11 and other admitted cases of Western and government-sponsored terror, as well with Andres von Bülow, who we first interviewed about 3 years ago, hasn't been with us since, and well, I noticed he was making the rounds again on talk radio, so I thought, why not have Andres von Bülow join us again? And he graciously will be spending an hour and a half with us coming up next hour. The websites, of course, are jonesreport.com, infowars.com, infowars.net, prisonplanet.tv, prisonplanet.com, martiallaw911.info. They're all important. They have a lot of the same news on each site, but original content specifically almost every day on each site that you won't find on the other sites. So all the more reason to visit all the sites daily and to put them on your favorites list. That's jonesreport.com, infowars.net, infowars.com, prisonplanet.com, prisonplanet.tv. And we're going to be launching some other websites here in the near future that are topic specific, so you can have one-stop shop for your information as we carry on the information war against the New World Order, as we expand our ongoing sorties deep into enemy territory, as we stay on target and destroy their capital ships of propaganda in the information war. You see, the New World Order has declared war on the people of the planet, and we have taken the challenge and have declared war on them. Our own policy reports say 90% of this war is a cold war, an info war, and we have risen to the challenge. We're engaging the enemy.
7-928-8822. The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Ago in a place called Mount Carmel, just west of Waco, Texas, the Delta Force, the most elite military force that the Pentagon has, not a Fort Bragg, went in to the compound, the wooden church, and murdered everyone. We have the Delta Force's own documents. We have their pre-action plan where they were complaining, saying this really is criminal. A violation of posse comitatus. So the attack on Mount Carmel was planned as George Bush Sr. Left office. It was planned at Fort Hood. General Shoemaker, now head of the Army, was the commander of the operation. And our military got their feet wet, killing American citizens after they'd been demonized. And now they're having the memorial out there 13 years after the horrible events. And I guess now we're going to be having the 11th anniversary as well for Oklahoma City today. Another government attack, another government psyop, another government laboratory. In fact, even Time magazine, a couple years after what happened at Waco, admitted, it first was broke in the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, that there were Russian special forces, Israeli special forces, British special forces, along with U.S. special forces there. It was kind of like a special forces reunion or cookout, and they consummated it with the barbarous barbecue. And they admit that the Russians were there with, quote, a white noise machine to torture the Davidians. It was an international test of the American people, a test of their weapons, a test of killing Americans right in front of everyone and saying, it's okay, they're a cult, they killed themselves. And, of course, a few months before that, they had the Ruby Ridge incident as well there in Ruby Ridge, Idaho, killing the family dog, killing a young boy, shooting a woman with a baby in her arms, breastfeeding, blowing her head off. This is the type of thing that our government just can't wait to perfect against the American people. And since then, I have personally witnessed with my own two eyeballs and seen many other video clips on the news and privately given to me by sources of our Marines, our other forces from the Army, with foreign troops working in concert in urban warfare drills coast to coast, from Swansboro, North Carolina, to Hebron, Maryland, to Oakland, California, to Kingsville and Alice, Texas, and Corpus Christi, drilling to take over courthouses, police stations, and to kill the American people, in some cases with foreign troops. We have police chiefs admitting that in my film, Police State 2000. So the 13th anniversary of Waco and the 11th anniversary of Oklahoma City today. And Oklahoma, of course, in the media overshadows Waco. It now is a bare mention in the press on this fateful day. And Oklahoma City is still used as a propaganda piece to scare the people into submission to accept a high-tech police state. So there you have it, the Waco anniversary today. Before I get into all the other news, before I get into Scott McClellan leaving and his disgusting comments, and who his replacement may be, who cares, more rats leaving the sinking ship. Before I do that, I talked yesterday about how the government, state, county, federal, water districts, school districts, all run giant slush funds that aren't even secret, but they're not publicly known, called Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports, and how the whole thing is a giant con game. And there was an article out of the London Telegraph today that I thought illustrated how a low-level con man can operate and how government and the private interests that own and run it are a bunch of looting crooks, and it's the same paradigm. London Telegraph today, credit card con man use names of tycoons. A con man assumed the identities of millionaire businessmen whose names he took from a magazine of Rich List, then applied for credit cards in their names. Yosef Babu, 49, milked their bank accounts and traveled the world, staying in luxury hotels, hiring expensive cars, buying Rolex watches, diamonds from De Beers, and spending £10,000 at a pop in Harrods department store. Among the identities he assumed were those of Dennis Bake, an author and golfing partner of former President Bill Clinton, the boss of a chain of Las Vegas casinos, and an interior inventor working on the space shuttle program. He was arrested in Paris, where he was found to have 17 driver's licenses in the names of rich Americans and 25 false identities. He served 4 months for fraud in France and spent 6 months awaiting extradition to England. Yesterday, he pled guilty at Craydon Crown Court to obtaining and attempting to obtain property by deception and obtaining services by deception. The court heard that the piece of filth, a Tunisian, had carried out frauds in America and had served a sentence in Italy for credit card fraud as well. Brendan Morris, prosecutor, said his methods had always were the same. He would ring an American Express call center in the U.S. to report the loss of a card. As a result of being able to provide a certain amount of information, the loser can then specify a location where a replacement card can be provided, he said. In these cases, it was London. He did this for 4 years before getting caught, that we know of. Okay. So, see, that's what one guy can do running a scam. Now, we're talking about trillions of dollars that have been stolen in the last few decades here in the U.S., openly and publicly, and we can detail it, we can list it, we can play congressional hearings concerning it, and no one goes to jail, no one gets in trouble. Occasionally, if they get a lot of heat on them, they'll burn some mid-level accountant, and he spends 2 years in a luxury federal facility, minimum security. And then they're released and are given jobs immediately by allied corporations making $50 million a year. That's how the payoffs work, boys and girls, and it's bad. And the police state you see being set up is to ensure that not only can the looting and stealing and thieving go on, but it can be expanded perpetually, inexorably. So I thought on this day, April 19th, we would expose the crooks for what they are. Smart crooks who get college degrees and work in good old boys networks and never get in trouble. Smart crooks go get a badge and a gun. Smart crooks become FBI agents. Smart crooks become bankers. Dumb crooks go around robbing people's houses for their DVD players and computers. And that's the rest of the story. Well, Rumsfeld's saying he won't quit, and Bush is saying he won't accept his resignation for the third time. So now we have Scott McClellan announcing earlier this morning, White House Deputy Chief of Staff Karl Rove is giving up his policy portfolio, and Press Secretary Scott McClellan is resigning, continuing to shake up in President Bush's administration that has already yielded a new Chief of Staff. A senior administration official who spoke on the condition of anonymity because the President had not yet made the announcement said Wednesday that Rove is giving up oversight of policy development to focus more on policies with the approval of the fall midterm elections. And now we have Scott McClellan worshiping Bush and saying how gracious he is and how great it's been, and he's leaving. Folks, he's been told to resign. We know that in every case. They want to give us new faces. McClellan is not as good a liar as Fleischer was, and they intend to get somebody new who is better. On the stinky meter, it stinks of rotten flesh of dead political dissidents. Chinese leader, Chinese butcher, Chinese king rat met with Bill Gates and others in Seattle yesterday. Chinese leader dines with Bill Gates is the headline, AP. After a swanky dinner with the world's richest men, Chinese President Hu Jintao turns his attention to America's largest exporters whose sales to China could help ease tensions over the growing trade gap. And I'm an Easter bunny. Who dined Tuesday night at the home of Microsoft Corporation owner Bill Gates, was invited to tour Boeing Company's Everett plant on Wednesday, where they've moved most of their plants to China, by the way, just days after Chinese officials confirmed a commitment to order 80 Boeing 737s in a deal valued at $5.2 billion at list prices. The order has yet to be finalized, and airlines typically negotiate discounts. Boeing sees China as one of its most important future markets, estimating that the country will require 2,600 new airplanes over the next 20 years. Who calls Gates a friend of China? Yes, he's helped censor and control and put in an architecture with their computers and internet systems and backbones to track and control everyone. This is out of the Associated Press. Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates told Chinese President Hu the company is just the very beginning of what as possible in technology, and then showed him some of what may lie ahead, whose visit included a tour of Microsoft's Home of the Future, which features experimental technology that might someday be used in people's living spaces to totally track and control them, I would add, biometrics and RFID. In one demonstration, a vase with a radio frequency identification tag, see, was placed on display, prompting the display to show pictures of areas where Hu has worked and lived. In the kitchen, the counter displayed a recipe of instructions in Chinese for making a type of bread, prompting Hu to ask if you still need a housekeeper if you use RFID tags. Later, watching a demonstration of the table of PC of research being done in Asia, Hu noted that it was difficult to type equations, and being able to write with a stylus makes it easier to do such work, blah, blah, blah. See, just a little puff piece. No discussion of the thousands of protesters holding up signs of people with their organs chopped out. I have those photos up on Infowars.com. Nothing about the British Medical Society or the British Society of Surgeons complaining about the hundreds of flights a day bringing in people with organs from China. Nothing about the serious issues of them killing farmers and tradesmen as they bulldoze their homes and steal their property for Microsoft factories. No discussion of any of it. Just all blah, 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 I'm a vase with pictures, and RFID is fun, and everything's wonderful. And now, remember, back in the 80s, back in the 90s, China was criticized as a police state. They're worse than ever. But now it's just all happy reports. Everything's good. Everything's wonderful. Everyone's happy. As the elite rape and rob the people of the planet. We'll be back after this quick break. Get into more news and take your calls. I'm Alex Jones. This is the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
That's 1-866-NO-ODORS.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, 12 noon, 3 p.m. Eastern. We're here live, folks, and then back from 9 to midnight. Again, thank you for joining us. But just an illustration of how controlled our press is, they'll have riots where tens of thousands, I think in one case it was over 40,000 in just the last year, Japanese farmers riot having their lands stolen. They live at subsistence level. They're given no compensation. They're just told you're homeless. That's it. Go to the cities, work in a factory, work in a slave factory, basically, slave wages. And you'll see maybe one or two reports in our press, and I've read the reports on air. They just kind of, well, the Chinese dealt with a security problem with machine guns and batons. They did a great job dealing with it. It's reported like they're doing something good. They have Tiananmen Squares every month over there on average now. Huge Tiananmen Squares all over the country, particularly in the South. And then by the time you read our press, I mean, I have AP reports here in front of me. President Hu of China loves Starbucks. President Hu has dinner with Bill Gates, says they're good friends, enjoys the RFID. It's just all fluff pieces with police state mixed in. But in all fairness, there was one local report. The Falun Gong practitioners protest Hu's visit, Seattle Post-Intelligencer. Considering what they were protesting, a march and rally by 200 participants, and I've looked at other reports of, quote, thousands protesting the visit total, but one little group of 200 Falun Gong, considering what they were protesting, a march and rally about 200 practitioners of Falun Gong through downtown Seattle Monday appeared remarkably tranquil. This might be owing to the spiritual movement's emphasis on meditation and gentle exercise, and then it goes on, which seems incongruent with a heated demonstration. And it says that they were protesting their family members and others that have been kidnapped and murdered and killed. It goes on to say that they were protesting organ harvesting. It shows pictures of them here holding up images of people having their organs cut out. This is the type of thing that's going on. But the protesters' message on the eve of Chinese President Hu Jintao's visit to Seattle on Tuesday and Wednesday was grisly. The Chinese government, they allege, China's advertised it in major publications, killing Falun Gong followers in a Nazi-style concentration camp in Luoyang province and harvesting their organs. The protesters, who came from as far as San Diego, based their claims on reports by Falun Gong supporters in China and articles in the Epoch Times, a newspaper and website affiliated with the group. What do you mean they base their claims? The State Department admits it. China's advertised it. The British Medical Society's advertised it and talked about it and complained about it. It's been in the New York Times. It's been in the Washington Post. It's been all over the news. China has mobile execution vans. Our main message is to let China's president know that the world knows about the death camp, said Allison Pan, a Seattle software engineer who helped organize the demonstration. We demand a full investigation. Last week in Beijing, Chinese officials denied allegations that as many as 6,000 petitioners of the banned Falun Gong were killed for their organs, calling the claims completely slanderous and baseless lies. A spokesman for the U.S. Embassy in Beijing told the Associated Press the U.S. government has asked the government for more information. Now, again, the State Department last year attacked myself, Rents, and others, saying it isn't true, they don't take organs. But then a whole other section of the State Department, going back a decade, documents it and says it's horrible. So they even contradict themselves. Yes, it's going on. Yes, China advertises it. Yes, wealthy Westerners and Japaners and others go in and do this and go get the organs. In contrast to Monday's protest, supporters from the Chinese community will gather at Payne Field in Ever today to wave red and golden signs and welcome Hu to the Seattle area. Among them will be children who are part of the ribbon dancing team. Oh, your graciousness, we love you. But there also will be more protests today. More supporters of the Taiwanese community upset that China and still considers it a renegade province. The Communist Party contends that there is only one China and is expected to assemble about 12:30 p.m. near Westin Hotel in downtown Seattle to oppose Hu's visit. So there's a bunch of groups there protesting the gracious leader. And what happens is you have these...
Make your decisions for yourselves, but sometimes you might make the wrong...
Because the press is not doing a very good job of giving us the details. I guarantee you, if I was on the ground, I could figure it out pretty quick, but I'm not in Seattle. Do we have any listeners in Seattle? I know we do. What have you seen that we haven't seen? Well, come back, take your calls, get into a bunch of Iran news, gold news, oil news, police state news, La Reconquista news, big developments on that front with the open borders and the illegal alien demonstrations. It's all coming up after we take some of your calls, and then former defense minister for the Parliament of Germany, former technology minister.
Remember? Visit www.sfrcorp.com. Call now.
Are coming up here in just a few minutes. The toll-free number to join us on this live Wednesday edition, the 19th, April 19th, Oklahoma City, 11 years, 13 years since Waco. Time is really flying. 1-800-259-9231. China, Waco, what's happening with gold and oil, the looming war with Iran, what's going on with the La Reconquista movements. We can discuss it all. By the way, I'm carrying a new video that is really professionally done. An extremely powerful Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings, Volume 1, The New Atlantis. And we're not talking about the mythical Atlantis or where is Atlantis. It's talking about how the elite in England, the Queen and others, openly said the New World would be the new empire, the new Atlantis to dominate the planet, the New World Order. Learn the incredible secrets of the esoteric traditions hidden within the manifold layers of signs and symbols in our nation's infrastructure. Symbols that for many represent the secret destiny of the world's greatest nation. Secret Mysteries of America's Beginnings unfolds the fascinating history behind the founding of America and exposes the esoteric underbelly of its design. Why is Washington, D.C. built on the 77th meridian? And are the Revolutionary War cities really built in perfect alignment with Stonehenge? Follow the journey of secret societies from England to the New World and learn their ancient hope of establishing a democratic commonwealth that would one day extend to all nations. In the 16th century, Sir Francis Bacon was at the helm of such societies and the leader of the Rosicrucians and the first Grand Master of modern Freemasonry. As such, she is considered by some to be the true founder of America. For centuries, controversy has surrounded this man, who is said to be the illegitimate son of Queen Elizabeth I and the real author behind Shakespeare's plays. When Bacon penned his classic work, The New Atlantis, he outlined his vision for the perfect society, a democratic commonwealth governed by scientific achievement. How are the founding fathers impacted by Bacon's plan? And is America being driven by this vision today? Or was it hijacked by another group? The Illuminati, I would add. And you can get it for $24.95 or for only $14.95. When you get that, you can get two of my films together for $14.95. The Order of Death, my new blockbuster bombshell film, new footage inside Bohemian Grove, occult rituals going on, new rituals caught on tape, and so much more. And then you get my updated, re-edited, remastered, with new information added, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove that I originally produced in 2000 after we snuck into the Grove, the first and only folks to do that. Until now, when this employee got new footage last year during July, and you get that on the same DVD for $14.95 when you get it with America's Beginnings, or get America's Beginnings by itself if you already have The Order of Death. Go to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com to order via the safe, secure online video and bookstore shopping cart, or call toll-free. The operators can answer your questions and take your order over the phone if you prefer. Get your copies today, 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139, or write to me, Alex Jones, at 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. Or go to PrisonPlanet.tv, get a 15-cent a day monthly membership, trial membership, or get a yearly membership and get 3 months free for 15 cents a day. You get all 14 of my films, every one of my weekly TV reports for the last 2 years, my special in-studio video interviews with guests that we did live on the radio, and a bunch of other films, my book, Paul Watson's book. It's a great activist tool to go download all the materials, PrisonPlanet.tv. And when you get hard copies of my films from InfoWars or by calling, be sure and make copies of them and spread the word. That's how we have an effect, through you taking action, and I want to commend and thank those that have. I want to get into America meets the new superpower, China, and then Bush refuses to rule out nuclear strikes on Iran. Defense Secretary or Secretary of the Ministry of Defense, Straw does not believe U.S. will strike Iran. If you believe that, I got a bridge I want to sell you. L.A. woman hospitalized with bubonic plague. More on the little Reconquista movements coming up. Right now, let's go ahead and talk to Jim in Texas. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Alex. Hey, you tempt me with a smorgasbord of targets and topics, everything from China to oil to gold, Mexico. From A to Z, you open fire on every direction they're shooting at us with this stuff.
Well, I like to, there was a Marine Corps general, I forget his name, who was surrounded by about 10 times his force in a mountain pass in North Korea during the war. And they said, sir, we're completely surrounded. And he said, good, don't let them escape.
Yeah, that's what McAuliffe said at the Battle of the Bulge. Nuts, we're not surrendering just because they've got us. And just spray and pray. But indulge me on three particulars here, Alex, even though there's 100 targets to shoot at. Let's throw down the gauntlet on this thing and have a burning of the Mexican flag real soon. We can do that in an open and public display of opposition at the Capitol to their invasion.
Well, I think it's a great idea. Sure, I think it's a great idea. Number one, do you have a radio one?
No, sir.
Okay, well, your phone's echoing or something's going on. Number one, I am insanely busy. I have to fight to spend time with my family. I'm so busy.
I know.
I'm finishing a film, which is going to have a huge effect globally. Thanks to you, the listeners. I am just so busy. And so I think, you guys need to go burn the Mexican flag.
We'll do it. Don't worry, we'll do it. Hey, Alex, that little boy, Scott McClellan, he's the apple of his mama's eye, who also happens to be a traitor. And believe me, the apple didn't fall far from the tree in this case.
Yeah, and tell folks who his mama is.
Yeah, his mama has been sucking off the taxpayers for her entire life. She's now deceiving many patriots, Carol Keaton, Longhorn, Strayhorn, Rylander, McClellan. I don't know how many times she's been married.
I.e. Black Widow.
she's running for governor of Texas. as an independent candidate, she's buying signatures to get on the ballot.
And really, that's to suck away from the Democrats from winning.
Well, she doesn't know if she's a Democrat or a Republican. Now she says she's an independent. But independence is what we really need, and we're not going to get it from her. And a lot of patriots are being deceived by her. They're going to get stabbed in the back, and I feel sorry for them.
Well, but, I know I've interviewed Barr. I think he's a good guy. He's gone public about LBJ, talking about how he killed Kennedy on this show and in a best-selling book and on History Channel. But certainly, you know, she claims she's against the toll roads. But,
yep.
But I mean, all she is a political master, and she's manipulating a lot of people.
Well, like I say, by her fruits, we know her. And that little boy didn't fall far from the apple tree. And, you know, I mean, he's been the mouthpiece of our bloodthirsty, warmongering dictator for a couple years now, lying through his teeth.
Yeah, 2 years, 9 months.
Oh, yeah, too long. Now, I'll tell you what, Alex, I'm going to take her down. I'm throwing down for governor myself. Primarily because yourself and Ron Paul chose not to run, and Davy Crockett's dead.
So, Jim, I've met you before. If you're really going to run for governor, tell everybody your full name.
Jim Dillon, candidate for governor of Texas.
Matt Dillon from Dodge.
Don't get it confused with Bob Dillon either.
All right.
Although
hey,
I do like his music.
Hey, listen, I appreciate your call, bro. I mean, listen, Bush himself is just a puppet. Strayhorn, Rylander, McClellan, whatever her name is this week, just give me a break. I mean, what do I say to all of that? Okay, more of your calls coming up here in a moment. Let me go ahead and let me dig it out here. It was in my stack. I'm looking for my articles about the La Reconquista. Ah, here they are. This is out of the Associated Press. Few protections for migrants to Mexico. This is a point we've been making for years. And it says, considered felons by the government, these migrants fear detention, rape, and robbery. Police and soldiers hunt them down at railroads, bus stations, and fleabag hotels. Sometimes they are deported. More often, officers simply take their money. While migrants in the United States have held huge demonstrations in recent weeks, the hundreds of thousands of undocumented Central Americans in Mexico suffer mostly in silence. And through Mexico's demands, humane treatment of its citizens who migrate to the United States, regardless of their legal status, Mexico provides few protections, how about zero, for migrants on its own soil. The issue simply isn't on the country's political agenda, perhaps because migrants make up only 0.5% of the population or 500,000 people compared to 12% in the United States. I thought illegal aliens were more like 6, 7%. 12%? Let me see. 300 million people. I guess they're saying migrants, comparing the people who legally have green cards. I consider it just the illegal aliens. But the article is a long one. It's lengthy. It's a good AP report by Mark Stevenson. You rarely see good AP reports these days. They're usually whitewashes or soft soaps or backpedaling whitewashes. But very, very important that we face this. I mean, you've got all these people saying, well, we're Mesoamericans. We have the breadth and width of the continent. But meanwhile, Mexico puts people in these big open-air camps, mosquito-infested facilities. They steal everything they've got. If they find out their family has any money back home, they run checks on them in Guatemala, Nicaragua, El Salvador, and then they will suck tens of thousands of pesos or more out of their families. They don't just shake them down when they grab them and rob them. And it's despicable. It's absolutely despicable. And then you've got these spoiled, rotten, illegal aliens in this country running around whining and sucking their thumbs and griping and complaining and getting free welfare and free tuition and free births for their children who instantly become citizens and they all get on the government dole and payroll while working multiple jobs, sending most of their money, what is it, two-thirds, back to Mexico. A major drain on this country, tens of billions a year. Not just the trade deficit with Mexico at 20-something billion a year and growing, but also the tens of billions that are sent back each year. And so all these whining groups that are running around, funded by Bush's PR firm out of Dallas that Vicente Fox hired in December, they don't want to talk about this. They don't want to discuss this, that they can't protest in Mexico. You have a big demonstration in Mexico, the police come and crack your heads and take a bunch of you off to the prison camp and then suck every dime out of your family to get you out. You know, in Mexican jails, when they grab Americans that are down there for any infraction, they'll run a credit check on you and suck your family dry. They'll steal everything you got, and most of the prisons are dirt-floored, big communal things where they have open latrines. I mean, it's hell on earth. And then they suck your family dry of money. I mean, it's just Mexico's a disgusting criminal group. And I don't know why their own citizens up here, Mexico lets them have dual citizenship, by the way, and vote in both elections, are running around wrapping themselves in that dirty Mexican flag, which I consider to be on par with the Nazi or communist Chinese flag. It's despicable by every yardstick, by every measurement. What do you think of this issue? Your calls are coming up. 1-800-259-9231. Good article here by Ralph Forbes out of American Free Press. U.S. fights for Southwest Reconquista is still the goal of open borders promoters. A secret war against America is not so secret anymore. America's cities are occupied with a horde of insurgents with the potential to reduce the United States to a corrupt third world colony. But the real enemy is not the hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens marching through America's streets. These hordes are victims, too, of big business elites who have been plotting to increase their vast fortunes at the expense of the American middle class that is now disappearing rapidly, I would add. The Republicans on the House International Relations Committee quietly proposed to link any migratory accord with Mexico with the opening of the Pemex Mexico oil monopoly to America's investment. Pemex is the golden goose of Mexico's corrupt elites, and they don't want to share the wealth of America's corrupt elites. Mexico has more billionaires per capita than any other nation in the world. Only about, 25 families run the whole thing. Mexico has twice the oil reserves of the United States. If the rulers of Mexico were only as bad as the media tells us Venezuelan Hugo Chavez is, their country would be prosperous, and there would be no economic reason for any Mexican to illegally cross into the U.S. border. But crushed by corruption, millions of Mexico's poor flood over the border, willing to work cheaper than Americans, driving the wages of U.S. workers to third world levels, which is precisely what the masters of the global plantation want, the Pan-American Union. The invasion was not with guided cruise missiles, tanks, or bombs. The stealth attack was by the Mexican plutocracy, cynically calls the secret cockroach army. Yes, that's what the Mexican plutocracy cynically calls the secret cockroach army. That's what they call their population. That's how arrogant they are about their peons. I don't think you're peons. And now a fancy PR firm, Bush's PR firm, admittedly, Dallas Morning News, stages all this and you roll around wrapping yourself in that dirty flag. The common people, the poor, the dirty, the lice-ridden, the cockroaches, are advancing on the United States, a country that needs to speak Spanish because it has 335.5 million Hispanics. Again, I'm not calling them cockroaches. This is what their government calls them, who are imposing their culture. Mexico is reconquering the United States by means of migratory tactics, as their former president said. It fills me full of joy because the Hispanics can have an ever greater influence all the way from southern Mexico to Alaska, boasted Ellen Potocki, a Polish-born Mexican intellectual. Few Americans have heard of her, but perhaps she can best be described as a Spanish-speaking clone of Condoleezza Rice, Madeleine Albright, and Hillary Clinton. I challenge Hispanic Americans who love this country. I know you love them more than anybody else. I know you. I challenge the Reconquistas who were fooled by all of this. I challenge white liberals to go read the names of the Mexican legislature, the Mexican Congress. Last time I looked, half of them are Green, Schmidt, Berg. They are European. They are Jewish. They are not Mexicans. They're on average over 6 feet tall. They got blonde hair, or if they got dark hair, they got blue eyes or hazel eyes. They, for generations of hundreds of years, look down on you, call you scum Indians, peons, cockroaches. They hate you. And they fit hand in glove with the New York and D.C. and London elite, and they're destroying America right now using you, who they call the cockroaches. All the signs point to a plot. In February and March, cable movie channel HBO promoted Walkout, a propaganda potboiler glorifying Mexican students cutting classes and marching in the streets. And then what happens? HBO has made it clear that Spanish speakers in the United States are a priority by investing in HBO Latino. HBO also reached out to radical racist, anti-white Mexican Bundist. And it goes on and on. Excellent, excellent report. I need to get this writer on. The National Council of Arauza sent mass emails urging its members to support and watch the historic film. Another agitator was the prolific and proliferation of Mexican-language radio stations, Clear Channel, the neocon propaganda conglomerate that took over the country radio stations all over America to push its war hysteria propaganda, is now aggressively increasing its staple of Spanish-language stations. Media mogul Rupert Murdoch, chairman of the News Corp Corporation, wants to take over Univision, the largest Spanish-language television station in the United States, and the fifth-largest American network behind Fox, ABC, NBC, CBS. Time Warner, CBS, Walt Disney, Grupo Televisa of Mexico, Bill Gates, and several private equity firms are also expected to bid for Univision. On and on and on. 6 years ago, the Bilderberg-controlled Wall Street Journal lamented that soon the American economy will face shortages of illegal immigrants from Mexico and that we need more. We'll be right back with your call. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We're going to go to Hank and Luis and others here right now. I just want to thank God openly, give God all the credit. I'm so thankful for this broadcast. I'm so thankful for the films we've made. I'm so thankful for you, the supporters, the sponsors, the stations out there, AM, FM, shortwave, internet, everybody. I'm just so blessed to have woken up to this so many years ago, to be in this fight, and to be with all of you out there who know what's going on and love this country and are fighting back. Hank in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead, Hank.
Hello, Alex. Good to talk with you.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to mention a couple of things that people might be interested in. One, today is also Patriots Day. April 19th of 1775 was Lexington and Concord. And the other thing is that one of our patriots from Seguin, Texas, Ron Avery, is up at the Capitol building in Austin, and he's trying to notify people through flyers about the unlawful ad valorem tax that the state of Texas is imposing on people for education and so forth.
Sure.
So those are two great things. If anybody in the area could make it up there, that'd be great.
All right.
And you're doing fine work. We've spread your videos around. They're great. We're looking forward to that next one.
Thank you so much for the call, Hank. Luis in California, you're on the air.
Hello, Alex. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, I was going to tell you, I was watching the Comedy Channel recently, and there's a new show by David.
Sir, number one, do you have your radio on?
Yeah, hold on. Let me turn it off. Hello?
Yes, can you turn it off?
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, anyway, I was watching the David Spade show recently. It's this show on the Comedy Channel, and he called Charlie Sheen a moron, called him a conspiracy theorist, and made a joke about him. It wasn't even funny. What annoyed me, of course, was that it was propaganda, but also it wasn't funny. He just kind of, usually he's pretty witty, funny, but this was just kind of like he just kind of said it, and, you know, they had the laughter or whatever, the audience, but anyway.
What show?
It's David Spade. He's the guy, he's like the annoying guy you see in the, he has like telephone commercials for AT&T or some company. David Spade, a comedian, a former Saturday Night.
Yeah, where does he have a show?
On the Comedy Channel.
Comedy Central?
Comedy Central, yeah. It's a new show. I think it's just been a couple, maybe a month or a couple weeks.
So he called Charlie an idiot.
Basically, he said Charlie Sheen is alleging 9/11 to be a conspiracy by the government. You can find out more at charliesheenmoron.com. And then they had the recorded or the laughter of the audience. But, you know, like, that's not that funny. That's kind of, okay, sure, you know. Anyway, so that, I thought you'd be interested in that because I know a caller called it and mentioned that the Bill Maher show, he came out against Charlie Sheen as well. But also, I was going to tell you just something, an interesting tidbit about the Spanish news, TV stations, whatever. I was noticing there was a billboard the other day for a news station called Telefutura, which is a big TV channel, whatever. And its symbol is a pyramid inside of a pyramid with the number 66 after it.
I've seen that, yeah.
I've seen that, you know, and I kind of looked at it instantly. I realized, okay, pyramid inside a pyramid, the number 6.
Well, sir, are you Spanish or...
Yeah.
What do folks in the Spanish community in California think? Because I know my Hispanic friends here in Texas know exactly what's going on.
My friends, everyone has fallen for it. I mean, you know, they may be open to, they're against Bush, they're against the Iraq War, they're against, you know, many of them are totally open to the idea that 9/11 was an inside job. But as far as the whole Minutemen thing, they think, they've fallen for the whole line, you know, they've fallen for everything. And I try to explain to them how they're just being used and it's just a clever way to divide and conquer, like you mentioned. But, you know, you really got to reach out to them and just show them the facts. It's understandable why they would fall for it. I mean, you know.
Oh, listen, it's very sophisticated Bush propaganda.
Yeah, you know, so I would say, like, you know, if you could just, like, reach out to them, you know, almost understanding why.
I will. You're great. Thank you.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.
Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I want folks to understand that one of the top intellectuals involved at the highest levels of the Mexican government, Polish-born Elena Poniatowska, said the common poor people, the dirty, the lice-ridden, the cockroaches, are advancing on the United States, a country that needs to speak Spanish because it has 33.5 million Hispanics who are imposing their culture. Mexico is reconquering the United States by means of migratory tactics. It fills me full of joy because the Hispanics can have an even greater influence from Mexico to Alaska, she boasted. I mean, that's what the elite, the European elite of Mexico, who never intermarried with the Indian population, the Aboriginal population, call these poor people. And Bush hires a PR firm with Fox. They run all these demonstrations. They're fooling these people. We need to reach out to them, as the last caller from Los Angeles said, who was Hispanic. We need to do this. We need to do this now. Okay, side issue, though, because our guest is going to be with us for an hour and a half. He is extremely gracious to join us, and I want to go over his bio in the next segment because it's so lengthy and some stations do not carry this segment. They carry news, but he served as State Secretary in the German Federal Ministry of Defense and Minister of Research and Technology, both during Chancellor Helmut Schmidt's administration, and was regarded as a rising star of German politics. He served for 25 years as SPD member for the German parliament, and, of course, he worked in oversight of their intelligence agencies, and he has clearly said that 9/11, every indicator shows, is an inside job. And he's Andres von Bülow, joining us for the second time. He joined us a few years ago. Mr. von Bülow, we're honored.
Hello, how are you?
I am very good, sir. Again, you're gracious to spend this much time with us. You've also had a best-selling book about 9/11 in Germany. But what do you want to cover in the next hour and a half?
Well, it's not my proposition to cover anything. It's yours. You should ask me questions. I don't want to talk about, well, you can ask me questions. And I'll try to answer. Also, I worked for 10 days in the mountains in our firm. And I'm not so good in English at the moment.
You're doing an excellent job, sir. Yeah, let's go over your history so people know who you are for a few minutes when we get back from break. And then let's talk about your experiences with intelligence agencies dealing with the East Germans when you were involved in intelligence oversight for the West Germans. And then let's get right into 9/11 and what you see happening on the geopolitical landscape over the horizon with your analysis of that, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But first off, because we just got a minute or so before we got a break, tell us about your best-selling book that's in German.
Well, I watched, as everybody, on 9/11, what's going on in New York and in Washington and in Pennsylvania. We were all shocked, And we got the message from the American administration, the Bush administration, that Osama bin Laden was responsible for this very clever act of aggression and terrorism. And a few days later, they found out that 19 people were responsible for this and were doing this. And the first question I had was who profits from this? And I found out the least to profit about this were the Muslims and Osama bin Laden. And I were very doubtful about the declaration which came out from the Bush administration. So I looked how things developed, how they declared that Iraq, Saddam Hussein was responsible for the attack, Osama bin Laden was responsible, these 9 Mujahideen were responsible, and so on and so on. And finally, I found out that you have perhaps 4 options to find out to declare what was going on. The first option was a strike out of the blue. Nobody knew.
Andres Famulo, stay there, sir. We've got a break. I want to come back and recap what you've said, plunge right into it. Again, we're extremely honored to have you with us today. We'll be back on the other side of this quick break. Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
Up once, and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
He's a best-selling author concerning government involvement in 9/11 in Germany. Andres Famulo, born in 1937 in Dresden. He's a German writer, lawyer, and former SPD politician. He's been working on books about intelligence agencies, including In the Name of the State, and many other publications. Political career, he served as State Secretary in the German Federal Ministry of Defense and Minister of Research and Technology, both during Chancellor Helmut Schmidt's administration, and was regarded, again, as the rising star of German politics. He also served for 25 years as an SPD member of the German Parliament. Since commencing his writing career, he has largely left the SPD's political loop, according to the encyclopedia I'm reading. We'll see if that's accurate. And during his time in the Bundestag, he served, that's their legislature or their parliament, on the Parliamentary Intelligence Committee. This work led him into his subsequent writing career. And on 9/11, he wrote the CIA on September 11th, in which he alleges U.S. government complicity in the September 11th, 2001 attacks. A quote from the book, "Planning the attacks was a master deed in technical and organized terms. The hijack of 4 big airliners with a few minutes and flying them into targets with a single hour and doing so in complicated flight routes. This is unthinkable without backing from secret support by state and industry." And it goes on. And he joined us several years ago. And that interview, the transcript of that, the subsequent article, is one of the most read pieces on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. So we're now joined by Andres Famulo. Again, Andres, thank you for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Please recap for stations that just joined us what you said in the last few minutes. Tell us about yourself and then how you woke up, why you have expertise in understanding intelligence and terrorism, and then let's plunge right into 9/11.
Well, you have at least you have fundamentally 4 options to declare what was going on 9/11. The first option is that it was a strike out of the blue. Nobody knew anything about it. It was hidden before all the intelligence agencies of the United States and around the world. And then the horrible thing happened on 9/11. This was the first declaration of the administration. They didn't know anything. They couldn't imagine that airplanes could be hijacked and steered into a building like the two towers and the Pentagon. The second option is that they knew, the intelligence community knew quite a lot, the FBI and the CIA. But unfortunately, they were not able to bring it together to a whole picture. This is, I think, the position now of the Independent Commission and of the administration. The CIA had, I think, 14 of these 19 people under control before, but didn't tell the FBI. The FBI had the others under control or knew about them, but they couldn't bring the picture together. So this is a kind of horrible negligence on the administrative level, excuse me. The third option is let it happen. They knew that something is planned, and they didn't interfere in order to use this thing as a pretext to bring control around the globe in different positions, especially in the oil fields of the Near East, and trying to bring bases against China for the next decades, seeing a conflict coming about. And the fourth option is it was a deliberate act of the administration, or a small part of the administration, very much insider-like. And they brought about this horrible attack in order to swing the public opinion from non-intervention into a situation where the public is supporting what we now have, a third or fourth world war against terrorism, against, as Cheney said and Bush, against 60 states which are supporting terrorism. And I found out that between the third and the fourth option, probably you have to decide. And the very strange thing is that the administration did a lousy, extremely lousy job in finding out what really happened on 9/11. Nobody was found responsible for what happened on 9/11. The administration was not able to protect these 3,000 people which died on 9/11.
I heard you being interviewed by Tarpley a few weeks ago, and you went even further than you had a few years ago on this broadcast, saying clearly that the fourth option, all the evidence that you look at shows that is the most probable. I mean, boil it down for us with your intelligence background, with your Minister of Defense there in the Parliament background, with your background as technology minister. I mean, clearly, sir, you believe, or is this false, that 9/11 had to be an inside job just from the scientific evidence alone?
Yeah, if you look at it, well, if the government would be free to discover what really happened and show and try to find out how things happened, one could believe that they were not part of the whole business. But if you look at the scenery, you find that first of all, the World Trade Center consists of, I think, seven different edifices or houses or huge buildings, not only the North and South Tower. World Trade Center number 7 was a 48 or 47 store-high building. It was destroyed without any airplane touching it at the afternoon of 9/11. And the owner or the leaser of the building said, "We tore it down." And if you look at the pictures, you find, and the videos, you find that it's going on in the free fall. You know, in 8 or 6 seconds, a huge building, a skyscraper, is falling down on its footprints. It's totally impossible. Few fires were over the day, indicating that there was something inside, but it was not strong enough to destroy the building.
Is it fair to say, Andres Fambulo, that if you look at all the evidence, 9/11 could only be an inside job, and that the official story is a fable?
Yeah, because the official story is so wrong, it must be an inside job. If the official story would tell the reality, what has gone on 9/11, if they could tell the people why the whole military apparatus didn't work on 9/11, no fighter plane did take off in the right mm-hmm. time, no of these air carriers were stopped or derogated before.
What about the drills of the same targets being hit same time? What about public officials warned not to fly? What about CIA insider trading? What about Bush signing W-1999, ordering the FBI?
You had, You had this insider trading before. You had FinCEN, the secret services of the financial apparatus in the United States. They have a special software program to follow the stock markets, and if the stock market has very strange movements, immediately they take care of this, and they had a lot of tape recording, and the lawyers of, I think, FinCEN told the people, destroy these tapes. So you don't have proof of this.
They also ran off with the flight recorders. They also shredded the FAA tapes.
Everything. So nothing. Normally the flight recorders are constructed to survive this kind of impact. And you normally find them.
They were discovered. They were. I mean, we now have firefighters saying they found them.
Some were discovered, but you don't know if there is no independent control what is on the flight recorders. You can't tell the truth.
Andre Famulo, do you think that we're in danger of the same criminal group that carried out the attack carrying out another attack because their entire agenda is stalling right now?
Well, the problem is that the Bush administration is in now deeply defensive, and probably they would like to come out in a new offense and taking up the fight against terrorism or so-called terrorism. For me, it's a wonder how in 10 years you can replace the Soviet Union with an enemy which is much more mightful than the Soviet Union at any time was, because you are spending now, I think, more than $400 billion per year in order to fight
So, sir,
terrorism.
do you believe we're in danger of the military-industrial complex staging another attack?
I think I think Eisenhower was right. He said this is an unbelievable danger for the American democracy, and it developed over the years. And I found out at the end of the Soviet Union, or a few years before, I doubted always that the Soviet Union was military as capable, being as weak on the industrial or other industrial fields. And this was overblown from election to election of presidents.
Do you think because the entire agenda is stalling with the neocons that we're in danger of their parent group carrying out another attack?
I don't know. I hope they don't. I hope that one new Pearl Harbor is enough, but nobody can be sure that these interests, which don't care about people, are going through all the.
So you think there is a possibility?
I think, if you interpret the 9/11 as I do, or the tendency, first of all, I didn't believe that, but the behavior of the American of the Bush administration in clearing up things after 9/11 shows that there must be the necessity to cover up. And if you come to this conclusion, you can not exclude anything.
Stay there, sir. We'll be right back.
Jay.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
He served as the State Secretary, or the Parliament Secretary of Defense, also the Minister of Research and Technology. He was also on a committee that was over intelligence. I want to get some into that, how he woke up to this paradigm. Andre Famulo is our guest. Andre, I mean, boiling it all down, you know, you've gone through some of why you woke up on 9/11. Now the evidence mounts and stacks on type of evidence, but not just the cover-up and not just how the official story is a fraud from end to end and, you know, the absconding of the evidence. We then have what they've done with the war on terror, destroying the liberties in America, invading countries that had nothing to do with it, falsifying intelligence. I mean, the picture just gets clearer and clearer. Has the picture for you gotten clearer since you first wrote your book a couple of years ago?
No, I think it's now rather clear that the administration uses this as a pretext to set new they try in the Near East to change the whole scenario, the political scenario. They prepare difficulties with the China. I think the administration thinks that China is much too big. It has to be divided in different parts, and so the military apparatus is now around China. Prepared for the next decades. They build huge bases in Iraq. They build bases in Kazakhstan, in the former states of the Soviet Union. This is all, and Afghanistan, this is all, I think, the preparation for new things to come.
Yeah, new enemies, new theaters, new paradigms.
New enemies, yeah.
Manufacturing enemies. Now, getting back into 9/11 evidence, we're going to go to break and come back. I want to get more into this. What about all the documents like Northwoods, where our own government admits they wanted to carry out similar attacks to 9/11 and blame it on foreign enemies during the Cold War? What about PNAC in September 2000 in rebuilding America's defenses saying we need a new Pearl Harbor? What about Brzezinski saying the same thing in the Grand Chessboard? I mean, how important are those documents?
I think they are very important. 12 months before 9/11, the group New American Century, Project New American Century, they wrote a paper about the defense budget, the future defense budget of the United States. And they said, peace dividend, please no. The Soviet Union is gone. There is no danger any longer from this point of view. But now we have to fight for a new American century. We have to build bases. We have to throw out Saddam Hussein, not only because he is a bad guy. In former times, he was a friend of Rumsfeld and of Reagan.
And we need a terror attack to get that done.
And therefore, they said, well, we have to spend even more, and the American population is stupid enough not to believe it. And so it will take time to convince the American population. And the only thing which could help would be a new Pearl Harbor. And then with a new Pearl Harbor, you would have an event which would switch immediately the attitude of the American public, having a new enemy, willing to go to war, willing to fight, willing to spend. And this is what happened. And this is normally the industrial, military, I think always also academic process.
Well, of course, sir, and then the 25 members of the Project for New American Century, almost all of them now are chieftains at the Pentagon or in the White House, including the Vice President.
Sure, and a part of them wrote the government program for Netanyahu, for example. So there you find again that Saddam Hussein has to be defeated and has to be thrown out, and so on and on. Iraq has to be divided in three different states, and so on and so on. It's a group of people thinking geostrategically and thinking that America has to spend more and more and more on defense, and they
now
all come out of the oil industry or out of the defense industry.
How many of the German elite of politics know what's really going on when you talk to them privately?
I don't know. I don't speak to them because otherwise they would say, well, you are right or you are wrong. If they say wrong, I say, well, keep your naivete. If they say you are right, then they would get in difficulty, because then I could say openly in the public this and this political figure is behind my.
Well, another a few years ago, another big German minister went public and said clearly this is the pretext for global domination. 9/11 was an inside job, pretext for global domination. Andres, long segment coming up after this quick break. Plenty of time to talk. Let's go back through 9/11 and what you think the most important points pointing to an inside job are. We'll be right back.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
885-6625.
about 9/11, the true horror of who carried it out, why they carried it out. We have all the evidence laid out, how they did it, in my new 9/11 film, Martial Law 9/11, Rise of the Police State. It is such an important documentary. It's 3 hours long, $24.95. You can get additional copies as low as $5.95 when you get a whole bunch of them. Or just buy one and burn copies. Give it to everybody you know. Get my classic film that some still say is my best, 9/11, The Road to Tyranny. I had it out, 5 months after 9/11. And then, of course, there's my book, 9/11, Descent into Tyranny, Paul Watson's book, Order Out of Chaos, Elite-Sponsored Terror, and the New World Order, getting into a whole bunch of other terror attacks, including 9/11. We also carry Loose Change, second edition. And we also carry Webster Tarpley's 9/11 Synthetic Terror, Made in the USA. A lot of 9/11 books and videos available via the Safe Secure online shopping cart at the video and bookstore at Infowars.com, or call toll-free 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Or just write to me, Alex Jones, at 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. We have the former State Secretary and German Federal Ministry of Defense, former Minister for Research and Technology, and, of course, for Helmut Schmidt. It goes on and on. Best-selling author, researcher, sat on intelligence committees, overseeing a big whistleblower on corruption between the West and East German secret police. He joins us with amazing expertise, and I guess 3 years ago he went public about the official story of 9/11 being a fraud, and the four scenarios, clearly it's the third or fourth, in between government letting it happening and financing it and opening the door to the government completely carrying it out. He says it's clearly between those two options, and the official story we know is a lie. Sir, for those that just joined us, again, we're so honored to have you. Why don't you just talk about anything that you think is important concerning 9/11 and some of the key points that clearly show that there's different levels of inside job participation by groups, and then tell us what organization or groups could carry out this attack from the signature of the events we saw on that horrible day now almost 5 years ago.
No, there were I think two events concerning 9/11. One was the planes. They were steered supposedly by these 19 young Muslims, which had identities which were stolen before. The identities were never cleared. The names of these 19 people never came up in the official passenger list. Until now, there is no proof that they were on the planes via the passenger list. There were no video. All the airports are covered by lots of video cameras, but you don't find anywhere you can say this is this and that guy.
And the BBC admits that 7 to 9 are confirmed to still be alive.
That's right, and they didn't retreat from this this message. A lot of people say, well, they gave it up, but until now it's still open, and the BBC is telling the public 7 were still alive. Some flew for Maroc Air, another was working for the Saudi oil industry, and so on and so on. You could find them. Then the second thing is the planes. If these youngsters have steered these planes, then opposite to this is the saying of the training of the pilot schools that they couldn't fly these planes. They were unable to fly. One said that they were not able to fly even the Cessna. So this is very, very strange. But not only the planes are a problem, lots of people say there were explosions. And if you look at the things that the procedure physically, you find that the towers came down in the velocity of free fall, which is totally impossible. They fall down in 8 or 9 or 10 seconds. Two to explain this why the pancake theory is ridiculous, as the commission told the public.
Let me bring something up on that point. We have physicists. We have the heads of mining colleges. We have the underwriter for the laboratory, Kevin Ryan, who wrote the report and did the test and said it was impossible. When he spoke up, they fired him. We have former Bush administration officials going public. We have now even Dr. Paul Craig Roberts saying clearly it's an inside job. We have former CIA chief briefers for Ronald Reagan and Bush Sr. saying the whole thing's a fraud. I mean, what are they going to do with so many prominent people? Michael Meacher, Blair Cabinet going public. What are they going to do with all these prominent people? Airline pilots, fighter pilots, the former head of the Star Wars program, Dr. Bob Bowman, going public saying clearly it's an inside job. What are they going to do with more and more prominent people? Charlie Sheen going public.
Well, the question is going on to you, because we wonder that between Republicans and Democrats, there is no difference in this question. Normally the opposition would take up the stone and throw it deep in the waters, looking what the government is doing with this accusation. But they do nothing. They are following the line of the Bush administration, and this is strange. This is and even more strange is the behavior of the main media. They are just parroting the propaganda of the administration. And if you don't have a free press bringing about doubtful stuff and discussing this and criticizing the administration handling this doubtful stuff and so on and so on. This is a process which must go on and on. Look what happened to Clinton with his sexual affairs with Lewinsky. They spent $60 million of dollars in finding out whether he lied or lied not, having sex or not sex and so on what kind of sex. They spared money in finding out what happened on 9/11. This is so unbelievable that I can't imagine how a press which is willing to fulfill its job is behaving like the American press is doing now.
Well, we've noticed that they will never respond to any of the facts we bring forward, any of the real questions. When Charlie Sheen says, look at Building 7, look at the frames from the Pentagon, they refuse to ever respond to anyone's facts. They just make up straw man attacks.
That's right. That's right. And if you have this kind of media, the democracy is dying because the public is not getting informed. It cannot become critical to the elected people.
Let me bring up another facet to this. We know the agents. We know the hijackers were agents of the government. Let me give the evidence of that. The dean of the Defense Language School, 3 months after 9/11, went public in the San Jose Mercury News headline, Dean of Defense Language School says Bush carried out 9/11. Then it had his quotes saying that he was forced to train in top-level spy training three of the supposed hijackers. Then we have the Pensacola News Journal and MSNBC admitting, and Senator Graham having to admit, that at least three of the hijackers were also trained there in secret pilot training. We then have the head of the U.S. Embassy in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, coming on this broadcast saying years before, the supposed hijackers by name were listed as Al-Qaeda terrorists. They went out to a Malaysian summit, were trying to come back through Saudi Arabia to the U.S., and they were flagged. He blocked them from entry to the U.S., and he received a high-level CIA communique and was told they're U.S. government agents in a high-level anti-terror training op. Then we have them in supposed flights in the weeks before 9/11 doing flying on aircraft. Even actor James Woods saw this and said they're clearly hijackers. The FBI said national security shut up. So with those nexus points, we have FBI informants living with them. We have them being paid, their credit cards being paid for by the government. We have the government protecting them. We have the government finding their passports at two different sites. We have all of this. They're clearly government agents. They have more connections to our government than they have to Al-Qaeda. Andres Famulo, your take on that.
Well, the background finally is that all these Al-Qaeda people, the so-called Al-Qaeda people, it's an Arabic name for bases or name bases. They were all fighters for the American, the Saudi, and the Pakistani government against the Soviets in Afghanistan.
They were used in Serbia. They were used in Serbia again in the late 90s.
They were used afterwards in Serbia. Osama bin Laden was an asset of the CIA and all these other two secret services. So there's a very, very strong connection to the American secret services using them. And after the Soviet Union left Afghanistan, they were used in different other places. First of all, in the fight in the Kosovo and in Albania. And now they are supposed to be the big enemies. I think it's a recycling process of assets of the American secret service system.
So, well, the evidence is clear. They got on board aircraft and believed they were taking part in a drill, and something happened to knock them out, and the planes were flown into buildings. I mean, you really cannot debate that. And then Al-Qaeda, if you don't know that it's Al-Qaeda, couldn't have NORAD stood down, couldn't run drills that day to confuse NORAD and other defense intelligence agencies, Pentagon Protective Service. We know that Al-Qaeda couldn't call public officials and tell them not to fly. Al-Qaeda couldn't do CIA insider trading, leading back to the deputy director of the Central Intelligence Agency. Al-Qaeda didn't write up Operation Northwoods. They didn't write up the Stay Behind Networks with Project Gladio. They didn't stage the Gulf of Tonkin. They didn't stage the USS Liberty. I mean, okay, who specifically could carry out the attacks from the signature, the way it was carried out, former Parliamentary Defense Minister Andres Rombulo?
Well, you do a wonderful job. You are listening all these strange things. The CIA is an agency which was built up in the end of the 40s, and the job was to be better as the KGB. And I always thought that we in the Western world would be reluctant to do things like the KGB, but they were willing to be better as the KGB, and this is a program. And if you follow these the behavior of the activities of the CIA over the decades, you find out that they are fighting wars beyond the line of official war fighting, and nobody knows about it. All these things are normally covered operations, false flag operations with patsies like these 19 Muslims, in order to change things, change public opinion in Italy by terror acts, change public opinion in Palestine or wherever, or in Iran. So you have this kind of behavior from time to time, and it's a normal procedure. And if you analyze this over the decades, you find out that it repeats itself.
Sir, can you specifically speak to that? You're saying it's a normal procedure. You mean government-sponsored or government provocateur terror is a normal procedure?
In other countries. In other countries outside of the United States, it's a standard procedure. Within the United States, it's very strange that it happened, and it's not quite sure whether the CIA is behind this. It might be an interior job. For example, the interception of these hijacked airplanes. Until 9/11 in this year, 2001, I think in 67 cases of uncertainty about the behavior of pilots and aircraft, the Air Force went up and did this interception job successfully. On 9/11, four airplanes were hijacked, and in none of these cases the interception took place. The jets were too late. They started too late. They started from far to far, from far away places. And what is especially important, and what nobody is telling the public from the official side, is that on 9/11, on the day of 9/11, there were five air maneuvers taking place under the direction of Cheney. And the people of the Federal Aviation Agency on the ground, which had to deal with this aircraft, they didn't know what was exercise and what was reality.
Talking about the drills, and then the big CIA/New York command center that was based in Building 7, they had moved out of the building the day before with FEMA, and this is now confirmed by Giuliani, were running Tripod 2 drill for a terror attack on the facility that very morning.
Yeah, sure, and then probably the command center of Giuliani, the mayor of New York, which had a two or three or four floors of a command center.
That's where they were running the attacks from.
Yeah, and this might be the optimal place in order to have a remote control steering of aircraft,
and then blow up the evidence at the end of the day.
And then blow up. It was two actions, two procedures. One was the flowing in of these aircraft. The second were explosions, which had must have been applied before. I think weeks before, for a week, and the electricity was cut off of both towers.
Now, specifically, sir, we're on the exact same page with our analysis. Going back, you know, when we say who could carry out the attack, you first list CIA, but then say we can't prove the specifics, and then you mention other, quote, you know, private groups, other inside groups.
So,
it must be
a very small group, and you can never see. I think I know quite some CIA people. They are very honorable people. You can't do this with the normal CIA people.
You're talking about black ops. You're talking about tested black ops squads and black world ops inside key compartmentalized areas of multiple agencies.
This I think would be the place to look for, because as a layman, as an outsider, I can only say, well, we have at this place, we have to look for evidence.
We know where the evidence points. We know who had the motive. We know that only a major state could carry these attacks out.
I didn't understand this.
I mean, you've said in the past, this is clearly a major state operation. This is so big, so much precision.
Yeah. It must be covered from high up. And then probably done by only a few people, which were, well, in a very secret behavior.
Would you say 100 to 200?
No, less.
50?
Less than that. Take out the control. For example, if you cut out the electricity in
stay
the
there, stay there. Let's,
one.
We've got a break, sir. Explain it to us when we get back. We'll be right back with Andres von Bülow, high level government minister from Deutschland. Andres von Bülow is our guest. Former Minister for Research and Technology, former State Secretary and German Federal Ministry of Defense, best-selling author on 9/11 and other subjects. Andres von Bülow, we're going to have you 30 minutes in the next hour. You've honored us with that much time, and I want to open the phones up specifically on 9/11 and state-sponsored false flag operations, listeners, at 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. But Andres, I've got to ask you, when did you decide to go public? Why did you have so much courage as one of the first prominent Western former or current government officials, very high level, to go public? What was that thought process like? Was it over time, or was it instant, or did you wake up at 3 a.m. and decide to do it? I mean, when did it all click?
No, my wife called me, look at the TV, what's going on, it's horrible. It's so extremely, I can't believe it, what's going on. And, we were all sad, and we were, had a lot of sympathy with the people in New York and the American people. And I said, well, and I was horrified too, but then I said, to whom who profits from this? And I followed over the next days and the next weeks and the next months what's going on and what the behavior of the American government in clearing up the situation. I mean, if you are overwhelmed during 2 hours the fantastic military structure of the United States on the East Coast, overwhelmed within 2 hours by 19 hijackers steered from the hole in Afghanistan. I mean, this is so amazing that you are waiting how the American government can explain it. First of all, they it took 3 or 4 hours. And Cheney knew that Osama bin Laden was responsible. It took another 2 or 3 hours that Al-Qaeda was responsible for this. Then it took 3 days for the FBI to find out the names of the people, the curricula of the people, and finally also the photos. And then I think within 1 week, the president and the vice president contacted the opposition leader and said, "Well, be careful. Don't spend too much time in finding out what happened. We need all the people which were responsible on 9/11 to fight terrorism." And then Afghanistan came as the next aim. And I think Cheney knew immediately that Iraq was responsible for the terrorism. Where did he get this knowledge? It's an absolutely lie, and why are you lying if you attacked in this way?
By the way, Andres, from Mulo.
Yeah?
Between the first and second towers being hit, CIA Director Tenet was already on TV saying it was bin Laden before the second event even happened.
Yeah.
And Bush, according to MSNBC and Newsweek, admittedly had 44,000 U.S. troops, 17,000 to 18,000 British troops massed in Tajikistan and Uzbekistan. They already had 3 carriers lined up to attack, and he had the launch orders on his desk to attack Afghanistan on September 10th.
Sure, it was planned before, and they used it as a pretext to attack Afghanistan. Even the Taliban are a product of the final of the cooperation of these 3 secret services: CIA, the Pakistani service, and the Saudis. And
all right,
Osama bin Laden.
Stay there, sir. We got another half hour with Andres von Bülow. I'm Alex Jones. Toll free number to join us: 800-259-9231. The websites are Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, and Jones. Report.com. Be sure and get my 9/11 films.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNLive.com and reserve it today. Or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Stream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Joining us from Deutschland, Germany, is Andres von Bülow, served as State Secretary of the German Federal Ministry of Defense and Minister of Research and Technology, sat on committees dealing with intelligence, fought the Stasi, discovered that Western German intelligence was working with them. So that's how he first woke up to all of this. I hope to spend some time with him today before he leaves us on that subject. We're going to be taking your calls, and we'll get into any other facets of the 9/11 attacks, which clearly are a 9/11 inside job. That's coming up. But right now, let's go ahead and go to some of your calls. Al in California, you're on the air with Andres von Bülow.
Hello?
Yes, Al, you're on the air.
Oh, this is Andreas von Bülow. I'm waiting for this man, human being in California.
Yes, sometimes people drop off. I guess Al's not there.
Uh-huh.
Guys. Okay, let's talk to Terry in Texas. Terry, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I've been listening to your program for quite a while, and I've listened to other ones. What was interesting was I don't have anything really significant to add, and I've listened, you know, to these discussion on the 9/11 many times, but sometimes I, you know, there's something that really stood out for me, even though it's been repeated before. I was listening to somebody on a program the other day, and they were talking about how the evidence, you know, of 9/11 was carted away. And, you know, you think about that, the patterns of how all these things work together, like at Waco and Oklahoma City and then 9/11, I mean, I've heard this before, but for some reason it just hit me just that much stronger the other day when I heard it, how this guy was saying, look how quick they were. I mean, they couldn't wait to cut off the evidence. They couldn't do it fast enough.
Let me get Andres' take on that, but let me just add this addendum to that. They sealed off Oklahoma City, blew up the evidence, Controlled Demolition Incorporated, hauls it away, buries it under guard in an armed landfill. They won't let anybody take photos day one at ground zero. They block it off. They haul away the steel to China under guard with guards, armed guards. And it's the same story over and over and over again. Andres, some below comments.
That's the same company.
Yeah, same company.
The same company did the job in 9/11 in New York. Controlled demolition. Took away the debris in Oklahoma and the same thing in New York.
The premier company that also blows up buildings.
Yeah, perhaps, yeah. Yeah, sure, they do that. But it's not sure that they did the job in New York, but they were ordered to take away the debris. And the many experts hoped to find a lead in the debris. And
why would they guard the steel with armed guards?
I know.
Because
yeah.
It was blown off in one floor and two floor sections.
You know, there's always the same procedure in covert operations. You have the official story with patsies and false leads for the media, and the media are telling the public what the administration wants. And behind this is a covert operation, and the covert operation is never 100% functioning. And so you have to have teams to take away the leftover evidence of the covert operation.
And it just so happens to be a company you use over and over again, and that company's main business is blowing up buildings with precise controlled demolitions.
Yeah.
Anything else, caller?
No. I this is completely deviating from 9/11. I do wish, Alex, you would do a thing on, it's so funny you've been mentioning about these prisons, you know, how they have factories inside these prisons. And the Statesman last week, they had an article about at some point, I'd love to have you do a program on these factories inside these prisons. They said something like 44 factories inside these prisons where they produce a variety of items.
It's a lot more than that, sir. There's 2 million plus people working in prison industries in America for an average of 20 cents an hour, taking our jobs, driving down the wages. It's the fastest non-defense.
More information, that's 1-800-845-3841.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The truth is, a criminal elite similar to Hitler or Stalin, but more sophisticated, has grown out of the military-industrial complex that Eisenhower warned us about in 1961 from his Oval Office farewell address. The undue, unwarranted weight of that military-industrial complex endangers us all. It has taken over, and it needs a way to rally its slaves, as Brzezinski calls us, against the barbarian hordes, and that is staged terror attacks. You look at the U.S. government documents calling for 9/11-style attacks, precisely. You look at the admitted attacks they've carried out in the past, like the 53 overthrow of Mossadegh in Iran. That's declassified, admitted, carried out attacks, blamed it on him. Terror attacks, blew up mosque, shot people in the streets. You look at then 9/11 and all the evidence, all the cover-ups of the evidence, the clear involvement at every level, at every facet. Then you look at how they used it to set up a police state in America and start invading Central Asia and the Near East. Every step of the way, you see the reality. And this isn't going to be like the Kennedy assassination, where it takes 3 decades for the truth to come out. The truth is coming out now. We are the counterstorm against their storm of tyranny. It's called liberty. And thanks to the courage of so many prominent people, the dam has broken. I want to go to Al, who was there, just away from his phone, Alex, Reagan, Brian, Bob, and others for Andres Rambula. But Andres Rambula, before we go back to the calls, any other facets or points you want to make? And then I have a question for you. as I mentioned earlier, what do you see on the horizon? What do you see happening? Do you see these neocons stalling, or do you see them being able to just juggernaut through with their Napoleonic invasion?
Well, the question is how the media are behaving. And the media are privately owned. The question is who the owner of the media are getting along with this agenda of the neocons. I always thought that the counterstorm around the globe against the United States, which the Bush administration raised, will finally bring about in Wall Street and other centers of finance and industry a rethinking process, whether it's wise to go the way of Brzezinski and Huntington to bring about a new enemy and taking the whole Muslim world as enemy and as radicals and so on, and so driving them really in radicalism. I still hope that there are wise people in the United States, and there are a lot of wise people taking responsibility and stopping this whole process, because everybody would like to work together with the United States, but the way this administration is behaving, it makes it impossible to any realistic statesman to join them. So and the problem is the media. If you have the media, if you control the media as an administration, if they are following blindly, then you can write books, you can make TV, you can make radio emissions and so on and so on. This is not enough to stop an administration running amok.
Now, there was also the little carrot handed out by the 9/11 fable or fiction or legend, in that countries worldwide that aren't even aligned with the neocons were more than happy to use the specter of terrorism to crack down on their own populations. So I see a new dark age of tyranny upon us. China is being more abusive than ever of their populations, having Tiananmen squares every month, but our media doesn't even criticize it now.
Well, I think the problem is the normal policy of the CIA against China would be to rise the hatred between minorities, to make regional differences, blow them up, to give money into the political blow up, and so on and so on. So the reaction normally of a government like China is to suppress this. The Ukrainian government tried to suppress the Orange Revolution, which was paid very strongly by the American government, and so on and so on. So normally you have, if you use the Kurds against the Turkish government, the Turkish government is forced to suppress these people much stronger than they would without an influence from outside, especially with weapons and money. And so you have always a very difficult situation, and you have to behave very wisely to enforce human law.
Are you saying you believe that covert operations by Western governments are trying to destabilize China domestically?
If the job would be to divide China and make it treatable with lots of smaller states, you would do this. Normally, as a Secret Service, you have to do it to find minority, to bring minorities against the majorities. You are using organized crime, killing the leaders of minorities, which are normally...
Well, we know that's the state. Well, we know that's the state of Pentagon plan in Iraq to create civil war and break it up in 3 to 4 parts.
Sure. It's always the same technique. It's a technique. The Romans did it before the Chinese did it, and the English did it. The Germans tried it, and the Americans are doing it. So and the Russians are doing it. The technique is always the same. But if you are attacking a problem in this way, the human rights problem is not handling, or the governments are not able to handle the situation as we would like to have them.
All right, let's
in our processes, the people which are the biggest fighter are get the most money.
All right, let's take some more calls. Let's talk to Al in California. Try him one more time. Al, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Sorry about before.
That's okay. Go ahead.
One comment, two questions. Peter Lance, he seems to me to be that guy on the movie JFK, who was always pointing Jim Garrison in the direction of the mafia. Seemed to be straining out the neck, open down the camel. The things he talks about doesn't match up with the actual facts of what went on the day of 9/11. Rather, they seem to be deep inside details. I mean, he puts out a lot of detail, but it's just side information where he seems to continuously miss the big picture. And I wish George Norrie would call him on it. And I wonder who's paying Peter Lance also. I think his bank account should be traced, should be tracked down. It probably hooks back up.
Well, frankly, nobody really listens to Peter Lance, and he routinely attacks me. And I just really don't care. A former 2020 News executive and producer, and he kind of goes with the number two of the four scenarios, and he's just a whitewasher, and no one buys into what he's saying, but I know, so I really wouldn't worry about it. Any questions for Andres von Mulo?
Two questions. One's for you, one's for your guest. I'll do the one for your guest first. Has anyone confronted the Loazos directly and questioned them as to what their knowledge of taking this debris away? Has anyone questioned them with questions that should be thrown at them personally?
You're talking about, has anyone questioned Control Demolition Incorporated?
Yeah.
Yeah, the families. It's been in the New York Times and other papers. The families said, please don't haul it away. Firefighter Engineering, the oldest firefighter organization in the country, said it was a cover-up and just horrible and that we weren't being told the truth. A bunch of other people have. Andres?
Yeah, sure. I didn't understand. It's that the transmission is not very good from California to here.
maybe turn his audio up. What he said is anyone tried to did anyone try to stop or then question the cover up of the crime scene in Lower Manhattan? And the answer is yes.
Oh, sure. A lot of people. I know everything I know. Things I have written about, I get from the American scenery. There are a lot of people looking for the reality and the truth. The truth movement is getting stronger and stronger, and I hope finally they will succeed.
Good.
And they are very detailed in their work. They did a wonderful job.
Yes.
Eric Hufschmidt, for example, is doing a wonderful job. And you can get this now on pictures. You have not even to read.
Certainly. Thank you for the call, caller.
Hold on,
I got to let you go. I got a lot of other callers, okay? We can go ahead and talk to Alex in Florida. Alex, go ahead.
Yes, Alex. First of all, I want to thank your guest profusely. I think I'm on your camp. I believe we're going to win this battle, and it's going to be because of brave people like Herr von Bülow. And when this is all over, we Americans will remember who our friends are. So thank you to him. Now, I have a quick question for him. A few weeks ago, you interviewed Jimmy Walter and William Rodriguez, and they were in Venezuela speaking with the government down there. And there was talk about a possible independent 911 investigative commission, and that Herr von Bülow was going to be a participant in that investigation. Is there any news on that front?
No, I was not contacted. I don't know what is going on. I know that the government of Chavez is thinking about it, trying perhaps to organize it. Until now, I didn't have any contact.
Yeah, no, they were mentioning that they would try to have folks like von Mulow involved, was the statement.
I got you. Okay, one quick question for you, Alex. My work schedule makes it very difficult for me to listen to you live, so the only time I usually get updates is when I can download audio files to my iPod. And a while back, you interviewed Sybil Edmonds, and we've been waiting anxiously for the audio file. Has that been posted yet? Or?
Yes, you can go to the network and get a membership and listen to that interview.
I've been a member for quite some time, but I've not been able to find.
You're a member of GCN Live?
Oh, not GCN. I'm a member.
Yeah, I don't post all the interviews. Just most of them, and I do believe we posted that, but we may have missed it. We'll try to do that. All right, we'll be right back with more calls. Stay with us. We'll talk to Reagan, Brian, Bob, and others with our guest, Andres von Bulow.
2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I've got a few other questions for Andres von Bulow. So we're going to take a few more calls now, come back and do about five more minutes on the other side and let him go. And we have Elijah Romo, who got videotape of troops at public schools here in Texas. He's got new video, new information. I don't know. Andres von Bulow, they're turning us into an armed camp. They're brainwashing the youth. They're raiding people's houses without warrants. America is turning into a hellish police state. Were you aware of that over in Germany?
Well, we are discussing this, and we have friends in the United States which are very anxious about what's going on in the United States.
I mean, listen, I'm not a cowardly person, but I've got passports in order for my family, and I'm going to stay here and go down with the ship. But, I mean, you think it's an undue fear with the Houston Chronicle reporting that Halliburton's building emergency FEMA camps for the American people and Bush is openly talking about martial law?
I think it's a horrible idea. And this privatization of well, it's one could say it's a camp of concentration in emergency and mass panic. I don't know why they are preparing this. What kind of scenario they are thinking about? The American taxpayer is paying now the money to build these kind of things, and then you have the annual cost of this, and finally you have to have people filling these camps.
Well,
I don't
Bush,
know what...
Bush has declared he's above the law on torture, on spying. He's signing bills that haven't even passed. He's claiming dictatorial power.
Yeah. And the horrible thing is torture is not is bringing about lies, which the government again can use.
Yeah.
I think it's unbelievable what's going on in Guantanamo, keeping people for 3-4 years under without any judicial procedure, without telling them what anybody has found against him, with not allowing the lawyers contacting them, without allowing the families going there.
Let's take a call.
Finally, after 3 or 4 years, everybody of us would tell what the government is willing to hear in order to get out of this hell.
Exactly. Then there's all the camps in Europe and other secret camps. Reagan.
Hello.
Go ahead, caller.
Hi.
Your phone's really bad, so you're going to have to hurry.
Okay. I wanted to say that I remembered when I was watching Dylan Avery's film on 9/11, he got somebody from FEMA to admit that on September 10th, they were called to New York and told to be ready to go to work at the World Trade Center on September 11th.
Yeah, that was Mr. Kenny of the FEMA, said that on with Peter Jennings, and then it was confirmed by Giuliani in the hearings. We talked about that.
There was also something else that I found on a website, and I wish I'd remembered it. It was when the Twin Towers were less than 3 years old, and George Bush Sr. looked at them and told somebody, wouldn't it be fun to blow them up?
Really?
George Bush Sr. looked at them and saw them and turned around to somebody, told the wrong person, because this person got on the web and posted it there, that George Bush Sr. turned around to somebody and said, wow, look at them. Wouldn't it be fun to blow them up?
Andres, were you aware that Marvin Bush had the contract on security for the towers and his contract ended September 11th?
Oh, sure, yeah, I know.
I mean, how much more obvious does it get?
This in itself is no proof, but it's another indication you have to look at the security companies, you have to look at the video, the people who are running the videos on the airplanes, you have to look for the kept secret videos of the Pentagon. We didn't touch the Pentagon case because probably there was never an airplane touching the Pentagon. It was probably something else, and so on and so on. So wherever you go, you get secrecy. You say, well, it's a state secret. You are not allowed to touch it. You are not allowed to hear the voice recorders, or they are not found, and so on and so on. And
Reagan, anything else?
No, I'll call another time to talk. Other people are waiting. Thanks so much.
Okay, and I would just ask you, Reagan, next time you call, turn the radio off. Thank you. It's just out of control. People will not stop. I don't know why. I'll quit taking calls. I'm not trying to be mean. It's just that suddenly people just won't do it, and I'm really starting to get mad. We're going to go to break here and come back and take two final calls from Brian and Bob. I'm sorry that's all we have time to take. And then I'll have a few final questions for Andres Fambilo. But, Andres, any websites you want to plug? You want to talk about your book? Anything people should go check out?
No, I don't have a website. My name, I had made some discussion with German newspapers. They are translated. You find them in the net. But I don't have a homepage because it takes too much time to clear it always.
Well, certainly you're here with us now, and you communicate that way, and we really appreciate you and your amazing courage. We salute you, Andres Mamulo. Final segment with Andres, then we'll have Elijah on with us as the children are brainwashed by troops right here in Texas.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio
29, or visit thepowerhour.com.
Two quick final calls for our guest, Andres Fambilo, who served as State Secretary in the German Federal Ministry of Defense and Minister for Research and Technology as well in Helmut Schmidt's administration. And we now take two final calls for him. Brian in Georgia, then Bob in New Jersey. Brian, go ahead.
Hi, Alex.
Hi.
Just want to congratulate you for your courage standing up. It's pretty hard to get out in the crossfire here. Mr. Bureau, also like to congratulate you and thank you. I have a question for Mr. Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
Have anybody seen any evidence of the Michael Zabir, the other Clemson University doctoral candidate? Does anybody know maybe any of the motivations behind it, or seen anything more in depth?
Well, he's talking about one of the members of the 9/11 Scholars for Truth being gunned down reportedly by two Somalis up in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't see anything about this. I'm not informed. Perhaps I didn't understand the question, but I think until now I didn't find that anybody talking about the truth of 9/11 is in any danger, but I have no idea.
All right, yeah, I was just wondering maybe if y'all had any in-depth motivations about it. And a question for you, Alex.
Okay.
Do you think there that the tide of the 9/11 changing will with it opening up more, will push the administrations to try to
if they could manage a new event, perhaps everything will clear out and the truth movement will go under. But I think at the moment they have a quite a good momentum and the things are changing. I think the population of New York is not believing the government any longer.
That's the thing. If they carry out another event, we'll just expose it that much faster.
Yeah, but the people which are the victims, or the not the victims, but the relatives of the victims, suing the American government and the security services and so on and so on, and the airlines, they don't get a fair procedure at the moment. There is no hearing.
In fact, the majority
going on and so on and so on.
The majority.
So, they pay a huge amount of money for the people accepting that nobody else could be held responsible, and they get $1.5 million per case. But there are wives of victims which want to know the truth, and they are suing the government. And but the judge is not.
Yes. Thank you, caller. Thank you for the call. Final call for our guest, Bob in New Jersey. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Bob, and good afternoon, Herb Bureau. Here's the thing that bothers me the most, is that they talk about the FAA tracking the planes, etc. Why doesn't anybody, or how come I haven't heard anybody bring up the fact that from Brunswick, Maine, down to Jacksonville, Florida, there are military bases with air stations and Air Force bases tracking everything that moves in the air? So
true.
Why? they dispatch jets from Boston to intercept a plane heading to New York when they could have been sent from either Earl in New Jersey or Lakehurst?
There were fighter interceptors within 10 minutes of takeoff from those planes.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and they didn't use the maximum speed to make the interception. They traveled around.
And we know Cheney was in. Cheney was in the bunker that day, controlling it all. That's admitted.
Well, and, yeah. And doesn't it bother you, both of you, that here we have the Pentagon? Okay, basically the location of every type of electronic surveillance report. Mechanism known to mankind.
Yeah, the nerve center.
Exactly. So they're trying to tell me that nobody in the Pentagon saw this plane coming toward it. And on top of that, where the location of the video cameras were, whether it's on the main highway running past the Pentagon or at the Sheraton Hotel or at the gas station, why won't they release the video of the plane
secret.
Hitting it?
They are secret. They could show the public what was going on, but they are declared secret, and the main media are not bringing up the conflicting stuff. So there is silence about this.
Bob, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. No more time for calls. Andres, we had you on what 2.5-3 years ago, and now you joined us again today for an hour. In 40 minutes, and again, I want to commend you for your bravery, your courage of standing up, speaking out. You're a great asset to free humanity. And just in closing, I want to tell folks that those that do read or speak Deutsch, you can get a copy via...
I apologize for my bad English. It's
bad. No. I was going to say they can get a copy of your book, and that is the CIA in September 11th. But in closing, Andres, anything else you'd like to add?
No, thank you. That's okay. I have nothing to... I hope that that things will be cleared up and that this administration will take the stand to finally give the way for the truth movement to find out what happened on 9/11, and then the political process has to take over.
How do you say government-sponsored terror or inside job in German?
We would say insider job, the English version.
Well, we have a lot of listeners in Germany on the internet and satellite. You want to? Can you just say 9/11 inside job in Deutsch for us?
Oh, that's fine. Insider job.
So that's how you say it.
Yeah, this is Amerikanisch. Yeah.
Well, fantastic. Ich
habe von Amerika gelernt.
Say. Can you say hi to all of our Deutsch listeners in Deutsch?
We have learned from the United States, and we took over this covert operation. I don't know how the Germans a lot of years ago dealt with this kind of operation. They had probably special wording for that, but I don't know it. Now we use the American version.
All right, so it's I guess you could say Englishized or.
yeah. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us. We'll talk to you soon, sir.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye-bye. There goes Andres Rombulo, an amazing newsmaking interview. We'll have transcripts out very soon, and folks help us out with that, and we'll also get an article out on it going further on this broadcast than I think he's ever gone anywhere else, speaking about 9/11. All right, now Elijah joins us, Elijah Romo, and we had him on, I guess, about 6-8 months ago. We did a local TV report on it. And he got up-close video of the troops at the crosswalks at the public schools. They're inside the schools. There's plain clothes as well. I've talked to the principal, who won't come on the show, saying, you know, that it's for security and they discipline the children. And this is what the regular military does and MPs now in America at regular public schools. And it's happening from Florida to Texas that we've confirmed, from Southern California to Illinois. And it's all part of an ongoing brainwashing campaign. And Mr. Romo, thank you for coming on with us.
Well, thank you very much.
For those that missed the broadcast months and months ago, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, what you first witnessed, what you videotaped, and what's been going on, and now some of the new developments.
Well, at the start of the new school season, just one day I was happening to job. I might drop off my children. And I was on the way back. I live about two blocks from a middle school and an elementary school. I have my children in private school. But on the way back, I saw these troops that were on the crosswalks, and it surprised me. And so what I did is I just real quick went in front of where the campus was, and I saw a campus police officer, and I asked him what were they doing there, and he said that it was because there was reports that there was a lot of fighting going on, and that was the principal's idea of restoring some kind of order. And
sure it was.
And I basically asked the campus officer, you know, isn't that your job to do that? You know, and don't they have mom patrols to do that aspect of it? If they're worried about it, why should they concentrate their efforts on that? And basically they gave me two different answers for reasons why, you know. And,
we did put out a text report on it and a video report, but recap the name of the school, specifically what happened.
Well, what specifically happened was that they said they're gonna that it was her specific title was she used it was her call that it was her call for her to take it upon herself to do it, but I don't think that that is her job to do that. I think it's a school district's job to come up with that idea. And I forgot the last part of your question. I'm sorry.
Well, just now there's been new developments. Now there's plainclothes went out there. Now they're marching around all over the place, different troops on a routine basis. And so you contacted me with some of the new developments.
Well, this has just been just very recent, probably late February, early March. they've been not really right there up where you could see them, but they're like in the background in the campus and walking around. And since I pass by every single day, I have never really seen any administrators, any school people that they have there. And you basically get to know who they are. And so I knew right away by their demeanor, the way they look, the way they walk, and them using like walkie-talkies, and you could tell. Then they're interacting with the military.
Well, let's be specific. We've got lots of video, and it's been confirmed. I've talked to the principal. There are regular Army troops, MPs. They're in the school, disciplining, doing all this stuff, crosswalks. Now there's plain clothes.
Yes, yes, and I tried to approach one of them just about 2 weeks ago, and maybe I gave myself away because I was in a suit, and but he just turned around and walked the opposite direction, and so I never could actually, you know, go up and approach and talk to him because I'm assuming he felt that there was something going on with the way I was going up there approaching him. So, but it was very obvious because I have never seen anyone out there really concerned about the school, you know, being out there, and I had never seen any fights at all last year.
And now, of course, in my film Police Day 2000 in Hebron, Maryland, we have regular Marines working with 10- and 12-year-old boys to, quote, tell them where the gun owners are in a drill to take over the city. That's all admitted. And, of course, we have what happened in Pensacola, Florida back in 98, Pensacola News Journal headline, you know, Marines take over school, and they pointed guns at the kids and said, Bill Clinton, quote, wants you to know what martial law is like. We have the recruiters moving into schools full-time. This is just totally brainwashing and taking possession of the schools. The feds have said if there's a bio attack, Washington Post, this was 2 years ago, they will lock down the schools and not let you have your children. This is hellish.
There's a poor district here in San Antonio. It's called the Edgewood School District.
And tell them the name of the middle school and elementary.
Okay, it's the two schools that they're working on is Zachary and Knowlton.
Zachary and Knowlton.
And Knowlton.
Knowlton, yes.
Zachary Elementary and Knowlton's Middle School. And these two schools are right next to each other. And so, and the other thing that I did notice was in some of the signs, the word, what they call tag marks. Not in every sign, but in some signs, they're called tactical markers, military tactical markers that I've noticed on some of the stop signs around that area.
Well, this is all part of a large public strategic plan to condition the public to accept military on our streets. Now we have regular Marines unannounced in places in Ohio walking around with machine guns, questioning people. So, and now they have Viper teams from TSA in Houston, in D.C., all over the place, random Miami, randomly searching people.
Well, in the Edgewood School District, they have terrorism. They've been having terrorism drills with different agencies, with the SWAT, the Sheriff's Department, Police Department, the campus police.
They're bathing the children's. I'm getting a little bit of a feedback, guys. They're bathing the population in this militarized, being searched, being frisked, conditioning. Now with troops, they're also conditioning the general public to accept this, and they said they want to get rid of Posse Comitatus. This is the occupation of America. This is the government waging war on us.
And the thing that I noticed was that no one seems to care. It seems like everyone seems to believe that it's okay. That it's good for America.
Doesn't matter if it's a felony. Anytime this is going on, it's a felony. They're not to be involved in any law enforcement activities, any searches and seizures, and they're doing it. Mr. Romo, I've talked to the principal once. She won't talk to me now. How many times have you talked to her? Have you talked to her recently?
I haven't recently yet. I haven't had an opportunity to speak to her.
Have you talked to her since I last talked to you 6 months ago?
I tried once, but they said that she was busy, that she couldn't really speak.
Have you tried going to a school board meeting or going to a city council meeting to bring this up?
No, sir. What I've tried is the area of the local TV stations and radio stations, but no one, it seems like, is interested right now.
Yeah, they don't think it's newsworthy to talk about how these are basically military re-education camps.
One of the terms that they use, that they don't feel that it's a hot topic.
Ah, yes.
A topic of interest, and it's that we should be supporting our troops and not to be bringing up negative things.
And you support them by quartering them with your children in a brainwashing camp.
Well, we're having terms like lockdown, you know, those are prison terms, you know. And
yeah, they're making children go to the bathroom in buckets in California during just regular lockdown drills, and it's all part of the brainwashing. I mean, do you agree with my analysis, Mr. Romo, that it's part of the ongoing brainwashing?
Well, I think it just starts with increments, you know, and if you do it a little bit at a time and with the backup of course, TV and radio, there's no opposition, and people think, well, if they keep saying it, I think that it must be right.
It's probing.
I think the Communist Manifesto, you know, proves that if you keep saying a lie and you keep repeating it, that they'll take it as truth.
Well, it's absolutely horrible keeping the kids in line. Instead of a hall monitor coming and taking you to the office when you've been tardy or gotten in trouble or caught smoking a cigarette out back. Now the troops come. The troops. And when the people complain, they just go into plain clothes. But the border's wide open. All of this creeping evil, all this Nazi
education.
I called, talked to the principal. A free society doesn't have troops creeping around disciplining the children at the elementary and middle school. Just creeping around, and it's happening all over the country. And then the police have drills where they dump fake blood on the elementary students and they cry and they aim machine guns at them and say the homeschoolers are coming to kill you. That's Associated Press. the federal training manuals say property rights activists are terrorists. They give them to the states. See, I mean, you couldn't make stuff up like this. I have FEMA on video to a group of police in Kansas City saying all Christians are terrorists, founding fathers are bad, America's bad. That's in my film Road to Tyranny. It's all just creeping under the surface, bizarre brainwashing everywhere. And good people like Mr. Romo see this and are freaked out by it, rightfully so. That's why he's got his children in private school. Elijah, we're almost out of time. Anything else you want to add? Any other points you want to make?
Well, what I just wanted to add is people need to do their part. I do my part not only going out there and trying to speak to my neighbors and speak to people that I know, but at church I go and address the situation and tell them, you know, everything's coming to a conclusion. We can't be putting our heads in the sand. You know, that's what happened in Germany. You know, everybody passed the buck to someone else until it was too late. But I think that the now is when we should deal with it, is we should try and do our grain in the sand, do our little part. And because freedom, we shouldn't just take advantage of our liberties and just say, you know what, let somebody else do it. But, you know, we should treasure liberties and say, you know what, even though they might take them away, at least I can feel confident and the conviction that I did something about it.
Well, I agree with you, and God bless you for your work. And if you get any new video of it, just send it to us. We'll do another report, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate your courage. This is brainwashing the troops. It's brainwashing the teachers, the administrators. It's brainwashing the people that drive by that school every day. It's just all acclimation, like you domesticate a farm animal. And we're going into domestication, i.e. slavery. And what's going on down there is illegal. Bald-faced, totally illegal. And it's just setting a precedent, and we'll continue to report on it. Mr. Romo, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much.
We'll talk to you soon. God bless you. I mean, seriously, I live in the Twilight Zone. I broadcast from the Outer Limits. This is going on all around us. It's happening everywhere. Most parents don't even know this stuff's going on. I mean, I get reports every few weeks about troops at schools, BATF, permanent officers at schools, with the kids writing essays on mommy and daddy and what guns they own and do you see them smoking pot. I mean, it's just America is setting up a super high-tech police state with the border wide open. It's not about terror. It's about controlling you, the cattle. When they start taking your pension funds and really bringing you down to third world status, they know you're going to go absolutely ape, and they're in place for when you do. Just like those Chinese people revolting against having their property taken against machine guns with garden rakes and hoes. I mean, it's bad news, boys and girls. And I've been watching this military takeover for a long time. We're out of time here. Please go to InfoWars.com. Get Martial Law, get Road to Tyranny, get Masters of Terror, get my book, Descent into Tyranny, get the videos and books on 9/11, make copies of my films, get the other books and videos I carry, get them out to people, educate others, expose these terrorists, because a lot of people won't listen now, but when stuff gets really bad, they'll remember, they'll click on, they'll activate. Plant those seeds. InfoWars.com to order it off the safe, secure online video and bookstore shopping cart, or go to PrisonPlanet.tv, get an online membership to see all my films and much more, over 1,000 pieces of media right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. Or call toll-free 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. I'm out of time. Amazing interview today. Thank you, Andres von Bülow, former German defense minister, for coming on with us. Thank you to all the listeners, the affiliates, the sponsors, the folks running the show, everybody. Keep it locked in. More big news coming up later this week. God bless.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.